So for years, it was just sort of this one theory about risk called the utility theory. But then on March in 1979, Econometrica published a new theory. And essentially, it was known as the prospect theory. And what the prospect theory did is it sort of said, hey, people judge their outcomes, the gain and losses, right? Not the idea of going into something that no one's going to do, but actually trying to think, will I have a gain, will I have a loss, relative to a point of reference. And it's usually the way a situation is framed. And so that's where we, you know, go from there. Then, of course, people are risk averse for gains, and then they risk, then they love risk, the risk averse for also losses as well. So what the main thing here is that people overweight small probabilities and underweight large probabilities. This is why a lot of times people miss the big home runs. Now, the bottom line is, let's face it, we hate losing money far more than we love making money. But there are those environments when this thing is completely flipped on its head. The euphoric mania stage, it's sort of a form of dopamine, right? And for investors, it's all in that framing I was talking about earlier. Changes to, you know, to every dip when you want to buy it because you know you're going to be quickly rewarded. There are other names for it, the greater fool theory and those kind of things. But really, the thinking started to change in 1979. The question, of course, is, are we on our way there? Now, my opinion right now, not yet. And I'll tell you why. Check this out. A record amount of cash actually came out of technology funds. Look at this. So as technology is rallying, you would think if we were irrationally exuberant, there would be more folks piling in. Instead, there were less people piling in. Now, conversely, almost a record, certainly the most since 2022, money came into real estate, right? Remember the commercial real estate thing that has everyone on edge? These stocks have gotten cheap, so a big amount of money has flown into here. Now, ironically, of course, it's more important to understand fundamentals more than anything else in this sort of environment, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to carry you through this. Now, this is what usually happens in any particular year. There's always a 3% dip. That happens 7 times a year. A 5%, what they call a mild correction. You know, the market pulls back. That happens over 3 times a year. A 10% correction happens at least once a year. If this is the case, then we would be due at least for a 3% dip. I want to bring in Bianco Research President Jim Bianco. Jim, you know, on those outflows and information, I got on technology, I do have to also acknowledge that by far, I mean, not even close, a record amount of money has poured into this, right? It's shattered all records, so maybe it was just due. But are you seeing any cracks in the armor right now for this rally?
I see worry signs in the rally, and it is in the concentration of the rally. NVIDIA is really the powerhouse like we haven't seen in a long time. It has accounted for a third of the S&P 500's gains this year. One third, one stock. It's half of the gains in the QQQ or the NASDAQ 100. We're seeing that the top 3 or 5 stocks are some of the highest weightings relative to the indexes in 60 years. Typically, when you see that kind of concentration, it usually occurs at the end of the move, not in the middle of the move or at the beginning of the move.
You know, Jim, I want to pick up on NVIDIA because just before the open today, I think the high pre-open was like 960, 970. The low was 860. I mean, this is a $2 trillion stock trading like a $2 stock. I mean, it's nuts. And that sort of volatility obviously has to raise some sort of concern.
Yeah, it does, because I think what's happening with this company and what's happening with the market in general is there's been a tremendous amount of speculative flows into it. Probably 70 or 80% of all of the leverage money has come in the last 5 weeks. And all this leverage money is really kind of hot money, meaning it's here for a short term. It's looking to take a gain and get out. And that's why you're seeing this increased volatility, especially on Friday. Yeah. The stock was on a completely wild ride. And like you said, for a $2 trillion stock, it's incredible to see this kind of volatility.
It really is. I'm putting up your second favorite ETF after your own. I saw you tweeted about this. Folks, this is the 4X. What does that mean? That this moves 4 times what the S&P moves. S&P up 1, this is up 4. S&P down 1, this is down 4. Now, so far, it's been up like a rocket ship. We're getting a little pressure here on Friday, but when you see something like this, do you think, okay, maybe some irrational exuberance is kicking in?
Yeah. Okay. There's nothing wrong with the product. It does exactly what it says it does. But when you see it, these kind of products being created, and this one was created in December, again, it is when people are getting excited, and it is when you do have some kind of a peak near, not immediately, but near. That's when you make these products, not at the beginning of the cycle.
Exactly. I mean, the product is great. I wish I invented it. But golly, you know, the fact that there's so much demand for it. I got to switch gears here because you've talked about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and mostly the blockchain. I'm starting to see these articles pop up about energy use, right? So energy wasn't an issue for a while. It was starting to peak up. And of course, with the move in cryptocurrency, you would think that would happen. Is there anything to be concerned about with the blockchain or cryptocurrency with these sort of energy folks? Because the last time they made a big stink, Bitcoin took a hit.
I hope not. You know, the assumption behind the whole energy movement is that Bitcoin serves no purpose, so it's wasted energy. Well, if it does serve a purpose, if it does, you know, pretend that it is a new form of money, that's energy well spent. That's like saying we shouldn't be heating all of the branches of banks because that's a waste of energy. Well, bank branches serve a purpose, and that energy to heat those banks, bank branch offices, serves a purpose. So I hope that that narrative doesn't take over again, because it really suggests that it serves no purpose, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, I think that argument is fading away, particularly as Wall Street jumps on the bandwagon. Jim, thanks a lot, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks. One-